So we're in a series called Breaking the Grip of Anxiety, and this is the second to last sermon in this series. And tonight I want to talk about living free from anxiety in Christ. Now, you guys have heard me say this two-word phrase many times. In Christ, two words that change everything. And so we're going to be in John chapter 14 looking first at verse 25. And here's the big idea that I want you to get tonight. True peace is found not in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of Jesus. True peace is found not in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of Jesus. And that is absolutely true. If anybody told you that when you became a Christian, you would not experience any battles or have to actually have the need for songs in the night, somebody lied to you, because the Christian life still happens here on planet Earth, and we live in a fallen world where death, heartache, sin, and all kinds of other things are constantly thrown before us. And there's no question that, you know, the human natural response to those things, to threats, is fear. But how do we live in a world where we have so many threats, so many things that cause us great alarm in our hearts, and yet still walk with the peace of Christ? True peace is not found in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of Jesus. So first thing tonight, number one, point number one is this: find peace in His Word. If you want to live in a sustained level of peace, you've got to find peace in God's Word. And so this is what Jesus says in John 14, beginning in verse 25. He says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Now, in these words are just unbelievable promises of power that we can leverage. So when Jesus says, "All these things I've spoken to you while I was still with you," He's pointing back. What is He pointing back to? He's referring to everything that He'd been teaching the disciples in the upper room, in His earthly ministry, the promises, the commands, the parables, the hope of His return. Because Jesus knew that the disciples' world was about to be shaken. And the cross was just a few hours away. Jesus would be arrested, and fear would overcome the hearts of the disciples. Now, we would like to think that if we were in that group, that we would not have not run, not escape, not hide, but we would stand firm. But I can guarantee you that we wouldn't, because it's one thing to read about it, but it's another thing to live it. But Jesus anchors the disciples, as He knows what's about to happen, not in what they feel, but in what He said. You cannot anchor your reality into what you feel. If you anchor your reality and your disposition into how you feel, you will always fail in the Christian life. No, you anchor your reality into the unchangeable promises of God. And I'm telling you, this is the number one reason why people's lives implode in the church, because they are not anchored into the Word of God. So you find your peace in the Word. The Word of God is the steady foundation when everything else feels uncertain. Okay? Then Jesus gives us this promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. The Spirit is sent by the Father in the name of the Son. So what does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit carries the full authority of Jesus and the Father. There is no separation of authority from our triune God. And now the Holy Spirit lives within us. And notice two things that Jesus said the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will do. He will teach and he will remind. For the believer, this is absolutely essential that we understand this. Teaching means that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to understand what Jesus taught us and what the Scriptures teach, what the prophets and the apostles have taught us. Reminding means that the Spirit brings back to our minds what we've already learned from the Scripture but may have forgotten in the heat of trouble. Has that ever happened? Who's ever been in the heat of trouble? Raise your hand. Okay? And what happens is, in the heat of trouble, sometimes we forget and we go into panic mode. But the Holy Spirit reminds us, even in our times of need, in our times of crisis, of His truths. So without teaching, we would never get God's promises and we would be walking on shifting sand. Without reminding, we would be lost in the fog of spiritual war. That's just a reality. So the Holy Spirit does both. He teaches and he reminds us. True peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Jesus. So how do we find peace in the Word? Well, first, it begins with recognizing that in the Bible, it's not just the book. It's not just the good book. It's the only book. It's the only book. It's living, breathing, and alive because it comes out of the very mouth of God. And it's illuminated in the hearts and the minds of believers through the Holy Spirit. So every time that you open up your Bible to have your quiet time, always, always, always ask the Holy Spirit to open up your mind for understanding. Never read your Bible without asking the Holy Spirit to guide you. I learned this many, many years ago. It was just the grace of God. It was a Charles Spurgeon book that I got for $3 at a Christian bookstore. There was a Benny Hinn book that was selling for $29. And then there was a Charles Spurgeon. I was so offended. I'm telling you the truth. I bought every single copy of the Spurgeon books. I don't know how much it cost. It cost a little bit. And I was like, I don't care. Because like that's just, you know, I couldn't believe my eyes. And what Charles Spurgeon said is it is absolutely foolish to try to understand the Word of God without the Holy Spirit of God. And so every time we open the Scripture, we say, Holy Spirit, teach me, remind me, open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart. And without that dependence, here's what happens. Bible reading becomes dry. It just becomes another mechanical thing. Or even feels burdensome. But when we invite the Holy Spirit to do His work in our lives, the Word of God comes alive, and peace and power and the strength to persevere through the dark night is available to us. But think about this. The Spirit can't remind us of promises that we've never even heard of. So think about this. How many believers have a cursory relationship with the Scriptures, and when the battle comes, they just completely collapse because they have no idea what the promises of God are? And so, you know, Most of us in here are over the age of 30, I noticed. Just a guess, okay? And we were brought up in churches that probably emphasized reading the Bible and emphasized memorizing portions of the Bible. You know, I've been a Bible memory verse guy for many, many years. But I'm just going to tell you, your generation, I'm not going to include my generation because I'm much younger than all of you. Your generation and my generation, we have dropped the ball with the younger generation. Now, don't go into guilt or shame. If you're a grandma or grandpa, raise your hand. If you're a mom or dad, raise your hand. Start dripping scripture. Start encouraging. Not from a place of, you need to do this. I mean, I was with I spoke at an event the other night, and I was with a son who's like 40 years old and the mom, and the son came up to me. He's like, man, you know, I'm going through a bunch of stuff, and then the mom's like, yeah, he should be applying everything. And I'm like, mom, be quiet. You're making your son not want to do any of this. How many know what I'm talking about? No point. But what we do is we're with love and with enthusiasm, we encourage people, memorize the scriptures. Let me help you. So if we don't put the scriptures in our heart, then there's nothing for him to bring back to our mind when the battle comes. You know, it's like expecting your phone to pull up a saved photo that you never took. I mean, that's why the discipline of reading the scriptures, memorizing the word of God, meditating on God's word, is not optional for the Christian. It's the very means by which we find peace. If you are battling anxiety, you must meditate in the word. You must memorize scripture. You must be in the word so that you know the promises. Now, the rote memorization of Bible verses is not the point. It's getting the word in your heart. And don't underestimate meditation. There's times when I read the scriptures, every week when I'm preparing 2 full-blown sermons every week, and I'm not going to complain because my pastor preached 3 sermons a week when I grew up, so I'm not crying about it. I love my job, okay? But quite often, what I'll do is I will just stop, and I'll literally just kind of let the back part of my brain, like just, you know, kind of like the percolator, you know, Mr. Coffee in the brain. And quite often when I'm just kind of meditating on what I've been reading, the Holy Spirit will pop in something that is unique. And then I'll go back and I'll look. And that, I think that's something that is a lost art. We think meditating is, you know, sitting there and going, you know, we don't go om, but we may go, Psalm 21, you know, like, no, it's just thinking and pondering and letting that scripture sink into the microscopic details of our hearts. Because I want you to know something. Every promise of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament finds its yes in Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning of verse 20. Write that down for a reference because you need that. Anytime that you see a promise in the Old Testament, it has its yes for us today in 2025. Same in the New Testament. Has its yes in Jesus. And that means that the Spirit takes the promises given to Abraham, to David, to Isaiah, to Peter and Paul, and he seals them in our hearts as fulfilled in Jesus. So when Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you, the Holy Spirit brings that back to us when we feel abandoned. I can't imagine how many Christian leaders throughout church history were thrown in prison, and the Holy Spirit brought that word to their minds. I will never leave you or forsake you. Can you imagine how that would change your disposition? When Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ, I mean, the Holy Spirit brings that truth back to us. How many times have you ever felt that nobody understood you, nobody got you, that nobody really likes you or loves you? And we all have fought that lie. And yet, we know this. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So true peace is not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of Jesus. And so, number two, not only do we find peace in the Word, we find peace in the presence. We find peace in the presence. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Okay, what does that mean? So Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. He's speaking like somebody who is leaving a will. Somebody who is leaving a will for their children. That's kind of how Jesus is speaking here. He's leaving an inheritance to his disciples. Not money, not land, but peace. How about that? And then he goes deeper. He goes, my peace I give to you. So this is not a vague feeling. Jesus is saying it is his peace, the very peace he himself enjoyed while he was on planet Earth, that he gives to us. Jesus, fully trusting the Father, even as he walked towards the cross in this moment. So what's the difference between peace I leave with you and peace I give to you? I leave shows permanence. His peace is our inheritance as believers in Christ. And then I give shows generosity. It's his daily gift that he keeps giving. His peace is always available. It's never exhausted. It's continuous. Now, compare the peace of Jesus with the world's peace, right? The world promises peace through nuclear arms de-escalation, through chemicals, through escapism, through money, through individual autonomy, dream vacations, finding love, right? But all those things are more than fragile. They're tenuous. One phone call and your life can be changed forever. One doctor's diagnosis can change everything. One downturn in the market and the world's peace vanishes. But Jesus' peace is different. It does not depend on circumstances. It flows from his presence. It's the peace that calms the storms, right? It's the peace that silenced the screams of demons. It's the peace that carried Jesus through Gethsemane all the way to the cross. True peace is not in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of Jesus. So here's the question. If Jesus is in heaven, then how do we experience his presence on earth, right? Well, the answer is the Holy Spirit, right? Have you noticed since I've been here at First Baptist Church how much I talk about the Father and I talk about Jesus and I also talk about the Holy Spirit? We will never get the Christian life if we don't understand the triune nature of God. The answer is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the very presence of Jesus Christ. And guess what? God is not with us. He is what? In us. And that makes that promise real. Surely I am always with you. Even to what? To the ends of the earth. And he says, I am. Interesting. But I don't have time to get into that. But think about it. So through the Spirit, we can live in the company of Jesus Christ. And his peace is not far off. It is right here. So how do we actually practice the presence of God in the grind of day-to-day life? Brother Lawrence, a simple 17th century monk, wrote a little book called The Practice of the Presence of God. How many of you guys have read that? Man, every Christian should read that. It's Well, that guy may be Catholic. I don't think he was Southern Baptist, but he got it. Whatever he was, he got it. And it's interesting that the practice of the presence of God is not mystical. It's so practical. He was not a famous preacher or a great theologian. He worked in the monastery kitchen. He was a dishwasher. He cooked meals. He washed dishes. And yet, in the middle of pots and pans and all the clatter, he carried on a constant conversation with God. For him, the line between the sacred and the ordinary just completely disappeared. Every dish that he scrubbed became an offering. Every meal he prepared became an act of worship. In this menial, detailed, rote life that he had, he found the dynamic power of the presence of God in every tiny little act. That's the heart of practicing the presence of God. When we realize that no moment is too ordinary, no task is too small, no duty is too routine, that it cannot become sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So true peace is not in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of Jesus. Brother Lawrence said it plainly, I cannot imagine how a person who knows God could live satisfied without practicing his presence. As for me, I keep myself withdrawn with him in the deepest part of my soul as much as I can. And while I am there with him, I fear nothing. As we practice the presence of Jesus being with us and in us, that's when peace dissipates the fear and the anxiety. It doesn't happen overnight. But as we build those reps in, we get that rhythm going, God begins to change us. That's how peace can invade your day-to-day life. When you wake, when you get up in the morning, invite the Lord Jesus into your day, into your conversations in advance, into what you're doing. As you drive to work, as you drive to a meeting, pray, connect. I always tell people, leverage your commute. Leverage your commute. If you're driving an hour a day to somewhere and back, man, you should be the greatest Christian. I mean, you could literally go through like 3 seminary degrees in a course of several years because you're jamming on the Word of God, good Bible teaching and prayer and worship. Leverage your commute. The only thing I say is don't close your eyes when you sing. And you know, use the audio Bible just so that, you know, not all of us go to heaven at once. When that fear creeps in, when that panic starts to shake, breathe his name and thank him that he's near. Put scriptures in your lips throughout the day. I copy and paste scriptures and put them on my little notes app and my iPhone all the time. I'm in a meeting and, you know, the Bible says, do not kill. Okay, good. Yeah. I might be misinterpreting that, but when the house is loud, when the office is chaotic, pause for 10 seconds and just say, Jesus, I know you're here. Peace is not found in clearing out your calendar or escaping your troubles. Peace is found in recognizing that Christ himself is with you right here, right now. True peace is not in the absence of trouble, but in the presence. It's for kitchens, offices, classrooms, traffic lights, traffic jams, hospital rooms, sleepless nights. We can also find peace in the ultimate victory of Jesus. Find peace in the Word, find peace in the presence, and find peace in his victory. Look at the second half of verse 27 in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Notice the first 3 words that Jesus says. Do not let. Do not let. What does that mean? It means you and I have a choice. We either are going to let our hearts be troubled, or we're not going to let our hearts be troubled. That's a powerful three-word phrase. So it's not all on us, right? The Lord is our strength and our shield, our comfort in times of help, but we cooperate with God in this, right? And so, you know, fear, anxiety, they come rushing in. And what do? We just let our hearts be troubled. We just give in to the feeling. We give in to the wave. We open the door, invite fear and anxiety into our lives. And then we let them, you know, take over the house. Fear becomes a guest that we feed, and anxiety that we just continue to supplement. And Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. That means you and I have a choice. Throughout John 14, Jesus is reminding his disciples of promises that he meant to steady their hearts, okay? He promised that he would prepare a place for them in the Father's house. How many of you remember that one? He promised the power of unanswered prayer, right? Of answered prayer, not unanswered prayer. He promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. He promised his peace. These promises are not abstract and ethereal. They're weapons against fear. And then in John 16:33, Jesus ties it all together. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Come on. Now, peace is not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of the victory of the presence of Jesus in our lives. The reason we can resist fear and anxiety is that Jesus has already overcome sin, death, and the powers of darkness. Think about this. If you are truly saved, you cannot go to hell. It's impossible. One time, a guy waved at me with one finger, and then he mouthed the words, go to double H hockey sticks, right? And I wanted to drive right back up next to him and go, I can't. I can't. I didn't do that, by the way. The valor would not be in favor of that. But think of the connection here. Jesus' victory is our victory. His triumph secures our peace. Here's the connection. 14:27. Don't let your heart be troubled. And then he explains in John 16:33. Why? I have overcome the world. Okay? Just in a little while, in an itty-bitty while, all of us will be with the Father. Now that would really discourage most people, right? But it's just a fact. As a pastor, I have been in so many situations where I've had to stare stark reality literally in front of me, from being on scene at terrible car crashes and other horrible events. Sometimes I was the first person there, being in hospital rooms and being in all kinds of places. I have been around death and grief for many, many years. And now, you know, as I'm getting older, I know it's coming. And I'm not afraid. I mean, I'm not like looking for, you know, I mean, I'd like to, you know, go out the easiest way possible. You know, sneeze, boom, I'm in heaven. However the Lord does it, that's how he does it. But if you think about this, if we know that is our destination, that it's guaranteed, why would we live in fear? I mean, if you know that heaven is your home and that Christ is in you and nothing can separate you, what do you have to fear? Oh, this is a fear. Oh, my kids are going to put me in a nursing home. I know one of them will. I'm not going to mention which one. And I was like, no way. I'm like, okay. Now I'm like, Lord, if that's where you have me, that'll be my ministry. If I'm in a hospital, that's going to be my ministry. Because in the end, what do I really have to lose? What do I have to prove? I don't have to prove anything to anyone now. Christ is in me. He lives in me. When finances shake, My God will meet all your needs, right? Philippians 4:19. When health fails, Revelation 21:4. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain in Christ's kingdom. When relationships fracture, people hate your guts. It doesn't happen in our church, but other churches it tends to happen. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. When the world's in chaos, stop freaking out every time there's a headline on Fox News. It's never going to end. You think they're going to quit putting those salacious headlines in? It's all about clicks. It's all about advertising dollars. If they're not keeping you engaged, or CNN or whatever you watch, when the world's in chaos, be still and know that I am God. When guilt begins to accuse you, there is now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This very moment, God will never condemn you. He'll never pour out his wrath on you. God does not pour out his wrath on his kids. Until I really meant that. Consider the story of Horatio Spafford. He wrote, "It Is Well With My Soul." He was a businessman. He lost his fortune in the Great Chicago Fire. Then he lost his four daughters in a shipwreck. Can't imagine it, man. He stood on the deck of the very place where they drowned, and he wrote, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." What's he talking about? Peace. But not like the world gives. Not denial, it's victory. Jesus has not promised you a trouble-free life, but he has promised you a victorious life. Even when it looks like everything around you is in defeat, he's promised you victory. Because the world's going to shake. Fear's going to come knocking on your door. Anxiety's going to whisper in your ear. But none of it can undo the triumph of the cross of Jesus Christ. So don't be afraid. The risen Christ has overcome the world. So find peace in his word. Find peace in his presence. Find peace in his victory. It's real. It is accessible. It's applicable and tangible for all of us. And now we're going to take some time to pray. And what I would just like to ask you to do for a moment is just kind of posture your heart where you are. And tonight we're going to do kind of the same thing, but I want to pray for us first. If you're battling anxiety right now, you're battling stress, first, you're not the only person in this room that feels that. But God's peace is available to you right now. If that's where you are, I mean, I've been battling some anxiety. Just raise your hand. I'm not looking around. I just want you to raise your hand to the Lord. Let me pray right now. Father, tonight I ask you, Holy Spirit, to break into our world right now. Break into this room. Break into our reality with your manifest presence. You said when two or three are gathered in your name, you're with us. That we can experience your manifest presence. That we know you're here tonight. We know you're available to meet our needs. And we love you. And we pray this in your name. Amen.